This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have a couple self-care non-negotiables. There are things I need to do every day. They may seem simple, but they go a long way. For me, it's movement, getting out of the apartment and going for a walk, which can be difficult when temps are super hot. And it's easy to let those priorities slip. But when you feel like you don't have enough time to stay centered, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever before. AGs know how important therapy has been in my life. I'm really open about it because it's important to talk about the things that make us feel better and the fact that there are tools available. I was nervous about starting therapy, about what it would mean to open up, and I cannot tell you how much that thinking has changed as a result of making that first step. I know that there is a safe space where I can go share exactly how I'm feeling and get positive, productive feedback. I feel stronger than I ever have before, and it's because of therapy. For everything life brings, big and small, therapy has helped me navigate. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andysgirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andysgirls. While I live in New York City, and I love living here, regardless of how many times I complain about it, I do miss Rhode Island, especially because it's the home base for my fam. And sure, there have been moments where I've needed to call the Tobes ASAP, and I didn't know where she was. Family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. That's why I love Life 360. It's a great way of staying in touch with my fam back home. Not to say, shout out Tobes, that I'm going to stop calling as often. It brings me comfort to know where they are. Something as simple as wanting to know if Tobes has left the house is so much easier with Life 360. It allows me to avoid making that extra text, what's your ETA, by knowing if she's actually left or if she does the thing that I often do of saying 5 more minutes when you mean 15. Those kinds of custom alerts, including locations, are made possible because of Life 360. You don't have to spend all of that extra time asking about ETAs, location. Are you en route? Have you actually left the house? Allowing me to spend more time on what's most important, ordering a glass of champs and asking my mom if she'd like me to order her an entree. Make everyday family life better. Coordinate activities in real time, keep tabs on your kids, connect with friends, and more. Life 360 allows people to stay connected without constantly bugging them. Custom alerts let you give your kids and loved ones the freedom they crave without compromising trust and communication. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. This isn't my plate, you fucking bitch, but it is my dream come true. Oh my god. Literally, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
The OC is full of secrets, but I have nothing to hide. That's my first one.
Was it?
Yes.
Well, listen, you've given 10. You've given so many. I don't even know what the 10th anniversary gift is. Is it an episode of Andy's Girls? It might be.
I don't know. I don't even know what my tagline is this year. They didn't play it the first episode.
So I was told word on the street is that you don't find out until it airs. Yeah. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we don't see the episodes until like 2 days before they air typically.
So there's no time to prep.
Not really.
Well, listen, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 563.
Wow.
We've been doing this for a minute. And it's the most important episode that I've ever done. No, I'm dead serious. We need to have a conversation. First off, I'll introduce the most important guest who's ever been in the Clawfus. Yes, she's quite literally, she made the schlep to the Upper East Side, to the Clough, to be here for this momentous occasion. It's a moment of great American history, is what I'm going to say. So let's introduce her. She's a proud mother of three and also Le Petit Prince, Archie Bador. She's the CEO and founder of Real for Real. She's a live performer currently on tour with Shannon and Vicky Live, who, P.S., will be performing this Wednesday at City Winery here in New York City, then Philly, Nashville, Atlanta, all over the place. And also, P.S., you may remember her as a Real Housewife of Orange County for 10 seasons and counting. And most importantly, she is the light of my life. Welcome to Andy's Girls, Shannon Storms Bador. I can't even say your name. I literally can't even say your name. I'm literally dying right now. I'm dying.
Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you. So I do a thing on Andy's Girls called Who is Your Spiritual Housewife? And it can be your favorite housewife. For me, it's both. But it's also the housewife that you identify yourself in. It's like the person, it's almost like your housewife astrological sign. And you, for me, since the moment you came on TV, have been my spiritual housewife. It is known through ages. I literally had a listener send me a little oil painting of Archie Bador because she knows my connection to him.
So cute.
I have to tell you, it's sort of an odd experience because you're walking into my apartment. You essentially know nothing about me. I feel like I know an awful lot about you. What is that kind of experience like?
I don't know. It's normal, I guess, now.
Yeah.
Because people do say that all the time. They say, I feel like I know you. And I get it.
Do we?
Do you know me?
Yeah.
I will tell you that the closest friends that I have say that I'm no different on or off camera.
Wow.
I've had castmates say that I'm phony, fake, whatever, but I'm not. I am the same way. Like if we were filming right now, I'd be the exact same way. So, and I tell the truth.
Yeah.
So it makes it really easy to keep everything in track.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of people don't always tell the truth.
True.
So I don't know. I think that you get it. I mean, there are some things that maybe are tweaked a little bit just to make sense of everything. But for the most part, the person you see on the show is me.
And, you know, we started the premiere episode for this season with conversations with you and your daughters. Mm-hmm. Sophie just moved to New York.
I know.
How are you feeling?
Crazy. I mean, it was so last minute. I was planning on coming anyways, but then for her to get this job, she starts tomorrow. And so we checked 8 bags onto the plane and she's staying with me in the hotel and we're looking for a place for her to live. So it's really exciting.
So is she looking for a sublet or is she looking to like sign a lease? We're in it to win it.
Yes, she's moving here with a classmate of hers from college. And so they're both excited.
Oh my. And do we know what's the career in? Can we talk a little bit about it? What's
sports?
Sports.
Yes.
Sports as in
sports marketing.
Okay.
For Sophie.
I was like, is she going into soccer? Like, what's
the... No, okay. She's not playing.
Okay, got it. She's so representing
the business side, on the business side of the sports industry.
And was that something she always was interested in?
Yes, that was her major in school.
Oh my
God. So yeah, she's really excited. And then her roommate has a great job too in the financial world. So they're going to be little business moguls together.
And you know what's nice is obviously Bravo's based in New York. So there's times where you need to be here. And the fact that she's also based here, and it's, right. I mean, it's New York City. It's not the worst place to be.
Oh, I'll be visiting often. I have another daughter that goes to school here, Adeline.
She goes to
Parsons, the new school.
Got it. Okay,
yeah, so great. I'll have 2 out of 3 in New York City. So I'm very excited about that.
And then is Stella in Paris still?
She was supposed to only be there for 1 year.
Okay.
But she loved it so much, she's going to go another year. So I take her back there in a couple weeks.
So I am a genuine Francophile. I fell in love with Paris. My dream in life is to somehow be based here and also Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to go for a month in September.
I know,
the clock is ticking. But there is something kind of wonderful about, I mean, I think it's the best city in the world. Apologies to New York, but there's something about it that's just honestly fabulous.
She loves it. And it's so close. It's actually inexpensive, I guess, for her to travel, which doesn't make sense to me, but she's gone to so many different cities. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Once you're there,
yeah,
to go in between countries is like $100, maybe less. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, why do we live here? Like, what's happening here? Why aren't we there? What's going on? So listen, a lot of people are talking about this season, saying it's a return to form. You know, last season obviously was really, really well received by fans. How do you feel about that? About, you know, there's a lot of conversation often of, has Housewives peaked? And then we have Orange County, which has kind of reset the map, I think, for a lot of people in the best possible way. What's kind of your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, the show is very different than it was when I started.
Yeah.
And a part of it has to do with, I don't know if you'd call it girl code, but, you know, if you heard a rumor about something when I started, like my ex-husband having an affair, you wouldn't bring that up on camera unless you knew for sure. And there were castmates that had heard the rumors, but they couldn't substantiate it, so they didn't bring it up. Today, if that were to happen, it would have been talked about on camera in the first second. So I just feel like, when people get a little tidbit of information, they feel they got to bring the drama. I think sometimes new girls come in saying, I got to make a splash in order to keep my spot. So it's changed a little bit. I mean, 18 years, right. In 18 seasons of the show, it's hard to find new people, you know, that are authentic.
And how do you react to that while you're filming without entirely breaking the fourth wall of like, you're, I know that you are performing right now. You wouldn't say this to me ordinarily. Like, how do you approach that and respond to it?
Interestingly enough, because the show's been on so long, we do break the fourth wall now. It's kind of accepted. And I think the fans like to see that too. Like, I don't even remember it, but at the end of the first episode, I look into the camera and I say, perfect. And I don't even know why. I don't know why I said that, but it was like, I was, you know, doing my best to keep my composure. But as Alexis stormed away, I was just like, you know, then you start to get a little mad.
Well, I mean, also you dragging the table. I want that as my ringtone, Shannon. Like, literally you dragging the table. I was like, my life will never get better than this moment, than watching this woman drag a table so she can have potentially an extraordinarily awkward conversation with someone you probably wouldn't want to be speaking with ordinarily.
Right. Of course not. No. And I thought it was funny because I, you know, you don't remember and you film for so long and they just use so little of it. But I don't remember her saying, oh, this is going to be a long conversation. And I go, I don't think so. I don't think so.
There was one little moment of sisterhood where you were dragging the table. Again, my favorite moment. And Alexis says something along the lines of like, oh, sweetie, or oh, honey, I'll help you. And I was like, oh, that's actually nice of her. It was unexpected.
She said babe.
But I think she meant it. Don't we think in that one moment she just saw, you're giving me eyes. She just saw somebody dragging a table and she's like, I'll help her. You know, there's something kind of lovely
she's
about that moment.
Super sweet. No, you know, I did say to her, I've heard that you are a kind person. They didn't use that. That's how I started the conversation with her. It was, I've heard you're a kind person, but I'm not interested. That was the purpose of the conversation.
Why do you think that the season started in such a combative way?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie that I was a little bit surprised that I wasn't going to be able to take a breath. I mean, I heard that Alexis was coming on as a friend, but I didn't know that I'd have to interact with her in the first week, you know? So it was a lot. It's interesting because I am asked a lot about Alexis and John. And I say often, I wish that I could have a day where I don't have to think about them or mention their names. And I just did press here for the premiere. So yes, every single press outlet asked me about Alexis and John. And yesterday, I was flooded with my friends sending me screenshots. But Alexis wrote a little ditty saying, you are obsessed with us. Stop saying our names. Stop talking about us. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm not obsessed with you. I'm glad that I'm not in a relationship with John Jansen anymore. Enjoy each other. I don't I don't want to talk about that. I want to move on with my life. Like, don't sue me, John. Because when you sue me and I offer you the amount that you're asking for and you say no, there's something else going on there. So, you know, I'm going to be asked about them a lot.
Well, it's also, it's one of these things where it's like almost a suspended reality, because, you know, Alexis knows, everybody who's on reality TV and in any kind of media space knows that you go into an interview and you say, you know, ask me whatever you want, which is incredibly generous. Someone asks you a question, you answer because it's a part of your job to promote the show.
Right.
Sound bites are pulled out. And then you're essentially blamed for answering a question, which is a part of your job. And then the narrative shifts to like, you're obsessed with me versus why are we? Alexis knows how the game is played, number one. And also, if we're coming into a show which has been yours for a decade, it's just an interesting energy to have to be so aggressive and antagonistic as if you guys are fighting for this man. I mean, Gina said it. Like, it's sort of odd that there are these two women who are at war because of this small man.
Well, I'm, if you want to call it at war, I mean, I wouldn't say it that way, but I choose not to be friendly with Alexis. Let's just put John Jansen aside.
Yeah.
It's because she started a lawsuit where I lost a lot of money and I was emotionally distraught for 3 years, being sued for something I didn't do, and I won. But it cost money to defend myself. So, and she started it. She's the one that sent a letter that says, we're, our lawyers will be contacting you. So she was involved. And so for that reason, I don't want to associate with her. It's nothing to do with John. I mean, it really doesn't, but it makes it awkward.
And her response to that, I thought, was interesting, because she's not saying I didn't send it. She's saying, show me proof on camera. And also, we need to move on, which is very different from I have no idea what you're talking about. I was never involved. She's not saying that.
No, she did. And I don't know if they didn't use that part. But no, she denied having anything to do with the lawsuit.
Well, she said essentially, she may have said that. She also said, you know, you won't find my name on any legal documentation. I'm nowhere.
Well, I have your name on a letter.
Did you find the letter?
Well, you'll see. Okay. This season.
Have you because Tamara has said since that she doesn't think that Alexis has any. It's all very odd. This whole situation is very odd.
Let me just put it this way.
Okay.
A cease and desist type letter.
Right.
It's not a court document. It's a letter. So if your name is on a cease and desist letter, it doesn't mean that your name might be on the court documents, but it's what started this. I keep saying this phrase. It's what started the ball rolling.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and it was a lot. And I guess I shouldn't say it has nothing to do with John, because it just really put me in a really, it's just an awkward situation. You know, I was with John for 3.5 years. We broke up for 6 months. Then we got back together and refused to admit it to people, but we were. And then 6 weeks later, after it ended for the second time, he was with her. And then a couple months in, she was on the show. So, you know, if you add up my time with John, it was a little over 4 years. And that's a long time to be with somebody, you know?
How do you process trying to move on from that and moving on when this person's new love interest joins the show? It feels like it's almost impossible versus being able to talk about your past and not have anyone involved on camera.
Yeah, and it's like you can't script this stuff.
Right.
You know? It's like, you've got to be kidding me. But I got through it, and that makes me feel stronger, you know? Like, people say, why'd you go to BravoCon a month after your DUI? Because I wanted to face it head on. I didn't want to put my head in the sand and hide. So in this manner, I've, you know, addressed that he's moved on with his life, which is fine. It's all great.
Yeah.
And if they're so happy and bliss, then be happy. I feel like it was thrown in my face a lot at the beginning, and my cast members agreed with that. So if you're so happy, why do you need to broadcast it all the time?
Well, and it broadcast it from like a place of anger. or in a way that is just so odd to me. Because I also think this is just the thing. It's like the interesting concept of leaving a show and returning and your first iteration being so focused on finding your identity, your place, even your personality through the lens of your husband, your husband's control, your husband's potential power. Your husband is the breadwinner and how that seeps in when maybe you're, you know, trying to figure out your own space and now you're making your own money. Then you come back and your identity is through your boyfriend again. And I'm just thinking, I know that there has been growth, but we are attaching ourselves so heavily to this man that it's hard. We're only one episode in, but it's like it's hard to figure out who this person is because she's only telling us who she is by who she's quote unquote in love with.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I see what you're saying. But she didn't, let's just be clear. She left because she was told to go 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, it was her time to go. And I just think, you know, I'll never know for sure. And it doesn't matter in the end. But I don't know. I just think that their relationship seems a lot. You know, each person has an interest in continuing on the show. It's very important for John to, quote, clear his name. And, you know, he was wanting me to do that. That's what really stressed me out. You can see in the reunion last year that I was just a mess. You know, he was on the phone with me saying, you got to say this, you got to say that. And I was just, when I got back from the reunion and I told him, you know, I tried to remember some of the things I said. I said, you know what, whatever I say, it's not going to be good enough for you. I didn't use the exact words that you said. I did the best that I could. But I was so focused on that instead of focusing on myself, yeah. You know? So, and I knew at that point, like, what are we doing? That's why both of us said, no, we're not back together. Because we knew deep down it wasn't going to work. But we did care about each other. So I'm glad it's over. And what the crazy part is now is I'm a relationship girl. And I don't want anything to do with a relationship right now. So that's good. To me, that shows growth.
You're in a relationship with yourself.
Yeah. And I need to be.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. So I'll start my life over when I'm in my 60s, which is crazy, but it's all good. I don't feel like I'm 60.
I mean, listen, I'm spiritually mid-20s plus. I think you're there with me.
But I say I feel like I'm 27 inside.
Same. Mm-hmm. And also outside, everywhere. That's literally how we live in a place of 27, and I'm here for it. So for you, I mean, you've had so many kind of, in the words of Ramona Singer, new beginnings. Now you're in a space where you are, you know, you're single. I feel like you're in a really solid, grounded place. Like literally looking at you in the Clofus where we are in New York City, it feels like you are incredibly secure in yourself, which is amazing to see. And, you know, one of the things that really connects me to you is your ability to show delicate aspects of yourself. Like there are moments where it feels like Shannon is a little fragile right now. How does that feel to open up and then watch these episodes back? You're in a different place, mm-hmm. potentially, this is as an outsider, mm-hmm. now than you were then, but there's such a like a visceral connection to these moments.
Yeah, I mean, I vowed this season I'm not going to cry, but I did tear up when I was with my kids. And when the lawsuit hit, I did cry a lot more because I just didn't understand why it's all happening. But I don't know. I just, a lot of times I am myself. When I do the interview confessionals, I answer the question and then I tap my leg. And one producer is like my third or fourth year in. He goes, what's up with the leg? And the cameraman said, that's just what she does. And it is because I answer the question right there on the cuff. Don't even think about it. And then I'm like, oh, what did I just say? Because people, the press will take one sentence and dissect it and analyze it. And it's like, I just said a sentence, boom, you know, without thinking about it. So, but that is what I do. So when I film, I just am myself for better or for worse. And sometimes I get embarrassed, like, oh, why did I say that? But it is who I am. So it is what it is.
My favorite summer treats vary. When I was a little kid, my mom would make us orange juice popsicles, which I know on its head does not sound delicious, but they were a fabulous, fabulous midday snack. And yes, the heat of summer is here. And your favorite summer treat could be giving you extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV has refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet that hit the spot when you need transformative, hydrating relief all summer long. It's so easy to get hydration fast and enjoy it like a refreshing summer snack. My personal favorite is the Rainbow Sherbet sugar-free Liquid IV. So I tear open the package, throw it on some super, super chilled ice water. I myself love extra, extra ice, and I'm good to go. Also, at the end of the day, I'm a spritz kind of gal. So I'll add Liquid IV's Rainbow Sherbet to, again, extra ice and some seltzer. It feels like an extra fun summer spritz. My number one focus, especially during summer, is staying hydrated. I have to have extra electrolytes every day, and Liquid IV gets me there fast. There are so many other reimagined flavors of iconic treats for you to enjoy. Acai berry and lemon lime to piña colada. And of course, sugar-free flavors, which is my personal favorite, like raspberry melon, white peach, and green grape. Liquid IV is more than just a drink. It's a science-backed way to hydrate better. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. Now that Real Housewives of New Jersey is going on a bit of a pause, I have turned my attention to a different kind of Garden State. That's right, Palm Street. In the words of Teresa, I want to say thank yous to Palm Street for sponsoring this episode. Palm Street is the number one live shopping app for plants, crystals, and crafts. There are rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods available. I love that Palm Street has such an incredible community. Not exactly similar to the folks talking about RHONJ. There are buyers and sellers you can connect with, live streams where you can see other people's questions pop up live and learn what other people like, how to care for plants that you may or may not have. I have owned one plant in my life, rest in peace, Sonia Tremont Morgan, the plant. So I'm excited to get a new one, Sonia Tremont Morgan II, thanks to Palm Street. You can connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. It's super fun, easy, and convenient to shop on the app through live shows that happen 24/7. There's a marketplace or purges, which are like IG stories. And P.S., they have great human customer support. And how many companies these days actually have a person available to help you and not a sad robot? Try shopping on Palm Street today and find your next plant friend of. Go to the link in the podcast description for this episode. New users get a $5 app credit, 10% off their order, and $6 off shipping for 3 orders. And find that next plant friend of. Jackie not included. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
It is also this odd moment, like the use of cruelty and shame often, the way that it's, you know, it can be weaponized by cast members or the audience. Is tough because, you know, we say we want to see growth in housewives, but then oftentimes there are so many boundaries that inhibit that growth from happening. Like we focus on these moments. How have you learned from this? You know, what's changed in your relationship? XYZ. You know, you go through something, several months goes by, it's edited, it's shown back to us, and then you're kind of hit with these waves of toxicity. How do you figure out how to navigate that? Because it's not just coming from strangers. It's also coming from people who you may or may not consider friends.
Right. I mean, I think that I'm getting a lot better with tuning that noise out. And I think I say it on the first episode, I am accountable to myself. Mm. And if someone doesn't believe me, then I'm sorry that they don't. But I know the truth and the people close to me do. And that's all that matters. And there are always going to be people that don't like me. I asked Andy that because in my third, I think it was my third season, they said I was a bully. And I said, like, what do you do, Andy, when people say negative things? He says it took me, I think he said like 8 years or something. So I think it took me a little bit less. It's just you got to, I think that a lot of the people that are unkind would switch places with me. Now, of course, not cast members, but, you know, I think a lot of cast members that are cruel think they need to stir up the drama to keep their job. So, you know, when it's my time to not be on the show anymore, I'll walk off into the sunset and say, check off that box. What's next? Mm. You know, and I'll be done. I'll be done with it. I won't want to come back.
That's also the difficulty when you're filming with someone who's trying to ruffle your feathers or you're not filming and they're saying stuff on social. It's like you might know that they're just doing this for attention or they're doing this for because they feel like it's a part of their job or a part of their persona. But then, you know, ordinarily you're in a relationship or dynamic with someone and they are toxic or it feels toxic. You're able to remove yourself if you want to. Mm-hmm. The show doesn't allow right. that because you're in this quote unquote friend circle. So it's like, how do we kind of figure this out? Especially if there are people who you ostensibly are supposed to quote unquote repair friendships with, because that's the way to move forward in the show. But it's like, you might not want to.
Right. So this season, I mean, I've been working hard on myself. I went after my DUI, I went to a place for 30 days. It was intensive outpatient program. And I continue on with my therapist and psychiatrist from the facility. And I have to, if I find myself in a toxic or unhealthy situation, I now choose to remove myself from it. So I don't know how there is any resolve. I mean, I don't even want to have conversations with certain people to try and resolve, because you're not my friend. You know, I have a relationship with Tamara where I thought she was one of my best friends. But if you look back in the show, and I've said this to her every season, so I say every year when I'm filming, every year she's got some issue with me, either something I did or something I didn't do. And then we resolve it. And I just kind of brushed certain things under the rug in deference to the friendship. And that's not a friendship. You shouldn't walk on eggshells or feel that you have to prove to somebody what a good friend you are. And that's an unhealthy relationship. So now in my life, I choose to remove myself from those situations. So I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see.
I mean, I have to say, just between us gals, just between us chickens, as my mom would say, I didn't understand moments in which you and Tamara were able to like find each other and become close again. There were times where I was like, I just want someone to tell Shannon to just be careful here, yeah, because it does feel like there's an expiration date, because Tamara is really good at her job. She is. But a part of that is sort of making a little bit of a human sacrifice. And often it's the person that's closest to her.
Right. I mean, she said after she got let go, she said that I ghosted her for 2 years. I have 153 screenshots of text messages.
Shannon, you did not count 153.
Yeah, I did, because production said, show us, last season, they said, show us that you texted, you know, show us some screenshots. And I kept taking them and taking them and taking them. And I'm like, it's 153. And I wasn't comfortable giving them to production either, because we were good friends. And like, you don't need to read what I was texting to my good friend.
Right.
So once again, you can believe me or not. I mean, I know it's a lot because I still have the pictures in my phone. So if I'm scrolling through all things, it's like, what are all these text messages? It's like, oh, yeah, that's when I was trying to show. No, I didn't ghost you. I was checking in with you all the time. And that's just the text part. Yeah. We spoke on the phone a lot, too. So what? Where are you pulling that out of the sky from? But I think she was trying to poke at me so that I would engage with her on social media so that she would be asked back on the show. And I don't go or get involved in social media wars. Sometimes I want to, but I don't. And it's not that I'm weak. It's just I choose to deal with things in a different manner. You know, I'll have a conversation with you. I don't need to broadcast it to the world.
And yet, it feels like that cycle is going to continue regardless of your participation.
Oh, yeah. No, they just keep poking.
Yeah. So how do you cope with that?
Well, I don't really look.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, Tam will go, you're a liar. Yeah, look. Sometimes I do, but I'm not on my social media all the time like a lot of other people are.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
So, and that's what people do. They hide behind their screen. And I think that some castmates do too. I think that some castmates can dish it out and they cannot take it. So I can't wait to see the next episode, because I, in my mind, remember what happened, but other castmates painted out to be completely different. So it's like, am I crazy? Do I not remember exactly everything that was said? So I'm excited to see it.
So how does that work? You get the episode 2 or 3 days before it airs. Mm-hmm. Is there a moment where you're watching and you're like, oh my God, I said this thing and I don't remember it, or someone's saying something in a confessional and that really pisses me off? Do you have an exchange with them? Are you like texting Emily or Katie or Heather and being like, that really hurt my feelings?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do they reach out to you in advance of that, or is it really a little bit of a dance?
You know, I don't think anyone's reached out to me, but I have a couple times over the years, but it is what it is. I mean, this part right now is the hardest for me, because I know what I filmed. I don't know what everybody else filmed.
Yeah.
And until I was on the show, you don't realize that like almost half of it are those interview confessionals. That's where you hear the stuff that's hurtful, you know? So this is the part I don't like.
Do you ever like text a producer and be like, can you just give me a heads up of how hot this water is going to be?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh my God, I would.
But sometimes they're nice and they say like, it's going to be a hard week, you know, something like that. Yeah. They'll reach out to me. But it is what it is. For the most part, I remember. Mm. I mean, I try to remember. Every year I go, after I film, I'm going to come home and I'm going to take notes. Because I want to make sure that they get all this stuff in, and I've never done it yet. So, and then it's like, I'm going to prepare for the reunion. And then it's like, no, I don't have time.
Well, I mean, on other franchises, they have literal sit downs. of like, here's how we're going to strategize doing X, Y, and Z.
Oh, well, right. That, isn't that they did that with New Jersey, right?
New Jersey happened, but it was a little bit of a tough situation because allegedly one of the cast members and maybe their the spouse of a cast member potentially hired a private investigator mm-hmm. and was like digging things up and planning to use that as mm-hmm. almost a little bit of like personality or storyline extortion, blackmail kind of yada yada, which is a little bit crossing the line. There's mm-hmm. something more pure, believe it or not, about Orange County where it feels like we haven't gotten into that quite yet. Sure, there's like the Megan King Edmonds vibe of mm-hmm. I am an investigative reporter. Mm-hmm. That will happen of things don't make sense, but it doesn't feel like some of the dark magic is used on Orange County, which is potentially sinking other franchises. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. But, people look into stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It depends. I think I showed up once with like papers one year with papers, but at the beginning with okay. Brooks, and it had to do with Brooks.
Okay.
Like the PET scan or the CAT scan mm. thing.
City of Hope.
Newport Imaging.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's so crazy that like everyone was talking about Newport Imaging. It's like, there's this little place, you know, in Newport Beach. Everyone knows what Newport Imaging is now.
I have rewatched those episodes, the party at Heather's when her house was still under LOL, it's like a hotel, was still under construction. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of that, it's wild that there were several seasons built around a man who turns out genuinely right. Google imaged medical yeah. imaging so that yeah. he could stay with this woman who was essentially his provider. It's when you think about that. It's a little dark, my God.
But I will say, because I was around them a lot, they cared about each other. I mean, he cared about her and she cared about him. And I saw it in their eyes. Mm. So it's a shame that yeah. he did that, you know, because he ruined a loving relationship that they had between each other. So
do you think that you would have stayed in either of the relationships, long-term relationships that we've seen play out on Housewives if you weren't on Housewives? Do you think that it would have been the same length of time, more time, less time, had Housewives not been a part of the environment?
I think that in my marriage, I would have left right away.
Really?
But because in the first season, I thought that being on the show, my ex-husband would watch it and say, gosh, I don't spend enough time with my wife. Like, what wacko world was I living in there? So, and you know, they showed the holes that were in our relationship and then how we were resolving them. And during this time, he's having an affair the whole time. And I found out a month after we wrapped filming. So it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to look like the biggest dumbass because we're like working on our relationship and he had an affair the whole time. So I think that really pushed me into fighting for my family more than I would have because it was so public. It's like, no, we're going to make it work. And we did make it work for a couple of years and it was great. It was the best part of our marriage was after the affair. But then he checked out again. So, you know, it is what it is. I think I stayed with John longer too, maybe because of the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
With David, do you think that he would have been potentially more interested in co-parenting had his marriage not played out so publicly? Was there any kind of possibility where in his mind he was trying to get control back or power back in the dynamic?
I just don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what goes on in his head. But I'm sure the show had something to do with it. I mean, I thought when he was having an affair that this ego was because he was being filmed on television. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was getting cocky because of that. And I remember asking Tamara, was your ex-husband like this when you started? Like, did he think he was all that? And it was because he was having an affair.
Oh my God.
So, you know. You live, you learn.
What do you think has been the best part of being on Housewives?
Well, I mean, I will say that I'm grateful for the platform. Mm-hmm. You know, I did go to law school for 2 years and I don't know what I would have done, what I would be doing right now if I didn't have the show. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that I have home movies of my kids. And to think that when I started, they had these little high voices, and like Sophie was 10 and she just graduated college. She's moving here. I mean, I'm grateful for that. And I will tell you that the people that I work with, the crew, they've been there. So many have been there forever. And they're family to me. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy, it's always sad when we're done filming because you feel like you're losing your family for a little bit. So I'm grateful for that too.
With your kids, how do you sit down with them when you know there might be a tough moment that's coming on with filming or a tough moment in your life and you're like, you know, we might have a conversation that's filmed on camera. Do you have any boundaries around that? Or, you know, what's your reaction to this? Like, how do you prepare as a mom for some of this stuff?
Well, we had a conversation before it started and it's just like, we're just going to be who we are.
Yeah.
And that's that. So that was just kind of the rule. So sorry if it's awkward or sorry if it's this or that, but we're just going to show the truth. In fact, the very first interview I ever did was on the Today Show. So it was live. Oh, sorry. And Kathy Lee Gifford said to me,
my love,
you have three daughters. How could you put them through something like this? And I thought, you know, my heart's pounding. And I said, you know, in life, you have to have a thick skin. And if I can teach my children that at a younger age, then I'm doing a good thing. And I don't know where that came from. I thought that was a good answer. So, you know, it is odd that you put your kids in that situation and people even feel like they know my kids. Stella hates it. Mm. She doesn't want, they don't watch the show. Like if I were a kid, I'd push rewind, you know, to watch myself. And they don't even care.
Yeah.
They don't even care. Sophie doesn't want to watch this season because she doesn't want to see people, you know, she doesn't want to see me get upset or have people be unkind because she, you know, knows a little bit because it was a tough few months when we were filming. So.
Yeah. The timing of it was wild.
Yeah.
How everything began. I mean, I was at BravoCon, saw the way that you carried yourself, which was with a lot of grace.
Thank you.
And I think you talk about that a little on the show, but I don't think people give you enough credit for the fact that you genuinely open up your heart and your life with all of us in such a way that can be at times, I would think, incredibly challenging. And so, you know, there are snide remarks made by your cast members, but I also think like you're not hiding anything. You're, when we talk about, you know, relationships that you've had, these are really difficult conversations to have, let alone experiences to live. And I just think that you've gone through, now I feel like I'm going to fucking cry. You've gone through a lot on camera and there's just like a way that, oh fuck, now I am fucking crying. There's just a connection that a lot of us have with you because it's like,
oh, you're sweet.
It's, you know, you've gone through a lot. I think a lot of people connect with dealing with challenging moments and being able to survive through it. I think it's incredibly powerful.
Oh, well, you're very kind. I mean, as far as this year,
yeah.
I mean, I've never been more humiliated at my and upset with myself about this stupid and horrible decision that I made to drink and drive. I mean, I would pride myself on being, you know, more responsible than that and to do it at this age. And to, I think I list off like all the things, like I'd never been arrested. I'd never been in a car accident. I never broke a bone. Like all these things that I did. And, but it has forced me to look at myself. And I don't know what I would have done had I hurt somebody or something. I'm so grateful that I didn't hurt anyone. And I think about it every day. I really do still think about it every day. And I probably will forever, but I have to, there's so much guilt and shame that, and I'm still working through that. And I'll probably be working through that my whole life to get past it. But I have to turn it into the smallest positive that, you know, some sort of positive. And I feel like I am growing and I am changing and I'm back on a healthier path, the healthiest path I've ever been on. So they, you know, in that way, it's good for me. And I'm just, you know, again, grateful I didn't hurt anyone. And I guess I had a scene with my lawyer, like, and he said, oh, you can maybe have this erased. And I'm like, nope, no favors. But then he says, everybody does that. So it's like, okay, then I'll consider doing that. But like, I did 40 hours of community service at my church, and I really enjoyed it. And I still do it.
At the boutique. Love it.
I still do it 2 to 3 times a week. And so it's good. Like, it's forced me to do a lot of different things.
And I actually think there was something really beautiful about your moment with Gina during the first episode where she was like, she said something along the lines of like, you're so brave. Like, when even in the conversation of prepping you up to have this conversation with Alexis, this thing that you didn't want to do, and also having the conversation about how she felt she was treated about the DUI, and you reset the relationship yourself at the start by being like, I'm sorry. I mean, how do you push back on that? You're taking accountability and responsibility for it. I felt like there was some like real movement there.
She said to me afterwards that when I apologized, she saw the true sincerity. Mm-hmm. And I was sincere. And, you know, there is a part of Gina that when I walked in, you know, I was walking into that party going, I'd had lunch with Emily the day before. So I thought, okay, we're decent, but I didn't know how anyone was going to really receive me. And for her to, she was almost shaky. And she says, I'm nervous for you. I'm nervous as you're walking in here that Alexis is here. And that was just so, I looked at her like, wow, that is so kind. Because she could have said, you know, fuck you. And I would have said, yeah, I deserve that when I walked in. So yeah, she really was a good support.
After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Parenting is a core part of Housewives, and my new fave friend Dove is ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. ByHeart's mission is simple: make the best formula in the world while using the latest in breast milk science. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. And ByHeart formula is clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code AndysGirls for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. One of my favorite people in the entire world is Fabio, who I also call Fabi and Fobs. He's really my New York City uncle, the super of my building. We've known each other for about 87 years since I moved in. And there's a lot to love about Fabi. One of my favorite things about him is that he's such a family man. And on the weekends, holds these amazing, vibrant, fun cookouts. And since he is my personal hero, I knew exactly what to give Fabio, aka Fabi, aka Fobs. Hero Bread. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. Since Fabi loves to use the grill, I knew that Hero Bread's new Hawaiian rolls would be perfect. And Fabio agreed. They're light, delicious, and while the rolls are great for fun summer sliders, Hero Bread works year-round. Healthier sliced bread and tortillas, which fit easily into health goals. Fabio does a lot of physical work here in the building, and he has a big family. And also, I will never allow him to retire. Hero Breads works great for those big family events or if you just want to pick up summer snack. Hero Breads has something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. I think that there's like a genuine, just again as an outsider, even though I'm an insider because I've seen every episode 19 times, there's something about the way that I felt like Emily, Gina, even Heather approached all of this where it feels like there's a genuine sincerity in their care for you. Really, truly, mm-hmm. That's, I think, good to see.
Yeah. No, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by it. And you'll see this season moments with all of those girls that you just mentioned that were, you know, I guess overwhelmed is the best word to describe it, because there's a huge part of me too. If someone is kind or sympathetic, like you're being right now, I feel guilty for it because I don't deserve that. I made a horrible decision. And so I don't deserve somebody to be kind. So it was very overwhelming to me during the filming process.
But you know that you do.
Well, I'm working on that.
Okay.
I'm working on that. Like my therapist will say all the time, like if she gives me a compliment or something, I poo-poo it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So but you know, they were overwhelmingly kind.
The thing that I try to remind myself, and I love therapy. I mean, I hate it every week, like 10 minutes before, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And then after I feel like a weight has been lifted, there's something about the idea of kind of resetting the ways that we see each other and just thinking of, you know, how would you respond if it was your friend telling you this versus when you're thinking about, I'm going through a challenging moment. And I myself just kind of discount my feelings and try to invalidate mm-hmm. them. And then I think, if I was talking to a friend, if I was a friend hearing this,
right,
how would I respond? Like maybe to be a little bit kinder mm-hmm. to myself, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And what does living in a place of guilt and shame do at the end of the day? It just continues an incredibly toxic cycle.
Right.
Which also connects to a potentially delicate question, but just because it's on the heels of the DUI, there were a lot of jokes being made by Alexis, by others, about the DUI as a way to invalidate the entirety of your opinion of, like, you know, Emily's saying John's a douchebag. Most of the audience agrees. And Alexis, upon hearing that, is like, well, you can't believe this person because of this one incident that happened, which is how she's framing the entirety of your personality and history. How do you combat that? Of, I made a bad call. It was a terrible decision, but that's not the entirety of who I am. And it doesn't invalidate my opinions.
Well, there are certain castmates that have labeled me an alcoholic. And I am very open and honest about the fact that did I use alcohol as a coping mechanism? In periods during my life, absolutely. When my marriage was ending, when I was miserable in my relationship with John, absolutely I did. And now today, I have other coping mechanisms and I realize that. I still will have a cocktail or two. And if I feel as though it's an issue moving forward, again, I'm accountable to myself. Mm-hmm. So I will address it. And so far, so good. You know, I'm been okay. I'm not using it to cope. So I have to, again, just try and block it out. If they're saying that, you know, if that's what they believe, then so be it. There's nothing I can do about it. All I can do is focus on myself.
Right. You don't want to allow yourself to be identified by other people. Like, that's your decision to make. All of that being said, did you ever think to yourself, maybe I abstain from any kind of alcohol during drinking so that these people cannot use me having a glass of wine against me, even just strategically, not as an identity of any kind of anything else when it comes to your relationship with alcohol, but just for the purposes of filming, to take away the power from other cast members to say, well, this is, you know, X and Y, and this is how we're going to use continuing to drink in any capacity against you?
Well, number one, I don't want to ever be accused of sneaking, which Tamara does in the first episode. Mm-hmm. And there was a night when we did the Trace Amiga show. We had a two-night thing in Arizona. And the first night, someone at our table after the show, we've got something to eat, said, do you want me to order you a drink? And I said, okay. And that night, going into my room, I said, you can't do that, Shannon, because it's going to look like you're sneaking. Mm. So the next night when we went out, I ordered the drink. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sneaking. And I said in a couple interviews this week, I said, check in with me at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Because there are times when, like, I don't drink at the luncheon. But there are times when I drink. There's times when I don't drink. Check in with me. Tell me how you think that I act when I have a drink or two. Mm-hmm. And then look at some other cast members and how they act when they're on the show, mm-hmm. filming, drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I see what you're saying, mm-hmm. But at the same time, I felt it important for me to, again, hit it head on and say, look, I'm not going to sneak. I'm not going to hide. I'm okay with this. Mm-hmm. So I want to show people that I can have a drink or two and I'll be fine. And maybe there's a part of me that, because people are putting a label on me that is inaccurate, I need to prove them wrong. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't, I'm not going to not drink because Tamara says I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. If I choose not to drink, it's because I think that I am.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened.
And when it, with all things Tamara.
Sophie?
Yeah. Sophie's on the people's couch. No, but she's living her best life. We love. She's a New Yorker now. You have to multitask, Shannon Bedore. So noting that, I mean, and not wanting to fall into just kind of a hole of feeling like other people are identifying you, what do you feel like your current relationship with alcohol is? Or what do you think that it has been overall?
Like I say, I mean, first of all, like, I've lost a weight. Like, people, you can see that I just look like I'm a healthier person. So, you know, I'm, especially if I travel, like, go out to dinner with Sophie and we order a couple drinks. Mm-hmm. She can drink now. And I've been fine. So I hate that there is such an emphasis on it, but so be it. And it's been a label that's been put on me since the very beginning because I'm allergic to beer and wine. So I would order.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. They said, the doctor said, because I have a lot of allergies, if you're going to order anything, order vodka. That's the best thing for you. So that's why I would drink vodka. But everyone's like, oh, you should drink the vodka. It's because that's all I could. So, and I would put Pellegrino in it. So get over it. I wasn't like I'm drinking straight vodka in a glass. But ever since then, you know, there are certain cast members that like to keep talking about stuff. And so now it's become a label on me. And I don't like that. But all I can do is move forward and say, check in with me. And yeah. And I really don't, at this point, call me an asshole, but I really don't care what people think. What matters is what I think.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, again, I think that's the idea of shame. And it's like, at the end of the day, you cannot, that's that person's individual journey. And when you identify someone in that way, it's so much about our own projections at a certain point. Like, we'll build opinions based on what we've seen from these edited episodes and maybe what we've seen in the interim. And at the end of the day, it's your responsibility. You are in charge of yourself, your body, your safety. You get to decide the decisions of, you know, what you want to do in the future. It's just tough to watch how this is being connected to so many other aspects of.
Yeah. But it is what it is. And again, the only reason why I'm in this situation is because I put myself there and I'm willing to take responsibility for that. And it's hard to have cast members say you're not taking responsibility. Yes, I am. Am I supposed to go hide in my room for the rest of my life because I made a bad decision? I'm not going to. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can you clarify something about that night? Because you clarified this in an interview, but a lot of AGs may well not know. I did not know until I think I read it, that the night of the DUI, Archie was in the car. Mm-hmm. And then there was rumors or allegations after that when immediately after that you may have been attempting to
fake walk the dog,
walking no. Archie.
Yeah, no. I got in the accident. I didn't have my phone. Mm. So I lived three blocks from John's place. Oh. So that's why I got, you know, that okay. was the dumbass part of me thinking, oh, I got three blocks. So I hit the planter and then I proceeded to go home because I needed to call, get help. And my car broke down then. So I ran home, grabbed my phone, and I walked back with Archie to the scene. And then I kind of went unconscious, but because I had some head injuries. But
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, but I wasn't fake walking the dog. I went straight up to the policeman and I was answering questions. So like I was being responsible. I was doing what I was supposed to.
So the car was there. It was like with.
It just broke down. It just stopped running.
So
I just like, oh my God, now so I left in the middle of the street and ran the half a block that I had to go to grab my phone.
The accident happened. Archie's fine. Mm-hmm. You remove Archie. You go back to your place to get a phone. John is where?
He's at home.
Did he hear that this happened?
I'll never know that. I don't know.
And then when the police come, does he come outside to be like...
I was already.
Yeah. It wasn't at the actual scene. No. It was after the fact.
No, I was. So it was about three block distance. And I got in the accident and then I was able to drive two of the blocks. And then the car stopped.
Shan.
So then I just got out and ran to get my phone to get help. And I think I was calling John to like say,
I
need help. I need help. And then but it was very close to where the accident was. So I think I was trying to call John and then the police were there. So then I went and answered the questions. No, I wasn't fake walking the dog. And Archie was okay. I mean, he was okay. And so I'm sure he was traumatized. I feel horrible about that. Can you imagine if something would happen to him? I mean, he was okay.
I mean, one of the saddest moments of my life was going on Instagram one day and you had lost, Archie had gone for a stroll by himself and you had posted and been like, Archie's gone and missing. I was like, yeah, nothing can happen to my sweet prince.
It's because John and I were in an argument and he left and he saw Archie outside, but he thought that I'd bring him in.
No.
Yeah. I thought he was in the house the whole time.
That's child endangerment with fur. That's like unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah.
You've really gone through it. There's been a lot there. You've really experienced a lot and you're here, you know, your child has moved to New York. You're doing a tour. You and Vicky are doing a national tour. What does that feel like?
It's so much fun. And you know what's so great about it is that we laugh a lot. Doug Buden is the host and he's just flipping hilarious. So
Love
it's
Doug.
Just nonstop laughter. And the fans come to watch the show and they're there because they want to see you. So you don't really get any negativity. It's just positive fun. And the show, Vicky and I actually think that the show is better just with the two of us because it's really a show about friendship and it's really fun. Like we sing and dance and we are not singers or are we dancers. And there's a lot of audience participation and it's kind of like a Sonny and Cher variety show. Ish.
Who's Sonny and who's Cher?
I don't know.
I think you're both going to fight over Cher a little bit.
I'll have to ask her when she comes tomorrow. But it's just a lot of fun and we laugh a lot. And it's, I don't know, I think it's good for me because I'm an empty nester now. Mm-hmm. So now... You know, if I'm not filming, I don't have anything to do. So I can go travel and meet fans and it's really fun.
Do you do Q&As as a part of the show too?
Yes, there's a Q&A.
And there's a meet and greet. People can get different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then there is a pretty pricey ticket. And we call it the VVIP. And so that's where we do a 45-minute intimate cocktail party. We limit the number of people that can come. And we stay, Vicky and I stay on separate ends of the venue so that we can have, you know, real conversations with the people at the party. So that's kind of fun too. It's not just a, oh, hi, how are you, one sentence. We can actually have conversations.
Does that happen before the show or after?
Before.
That's smart.
That's before the show. And then after, we do the meet and greet photo. So like if you do the VVIP, you get both.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And that's also kind of cool that it's happening while the show is airing, because your name is out there.
I know.
Especially, which I would think makes these shows extra special.
Well, Vicky Gunvalson also is on this season, and they show us working on, they film us working on the Shannon and Vicky live show.
So it's really?
So that's has been the saving grace for me. I mean, Vicky has been such an amazing friend. She took me in after my DUI and she took care of me because I was injured. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And so we have silly fun. So in this season of darkness for me, with my DUI and with the whole Alexis situation, it's so nice that I have the opportunity to laugh and be silly, because when you spend time with Vicky Gunvalson, it's just, it is silly. The she and I together was just something.
There is something also about when you giggle, like my heart soars. It's so, I swear to God, literally you smile with your heart. And I truly, it's
sweet.
It's the absolute best. Do you think Vicky is, what's happening? I feel like, you know, they brought back Alexis, whatever, but they took away your strongest allies. Taylor's no longer there for reasons I truly don't understand. Vicky's going to cameo plus, but I don't even think she's considered the title of friend. When is she? I feel like now, next season is the perfect time for her to return.
I mean, I always want Vicky to come back. And yeah, I love Taylor. I mean, I called her my hot mess sister. We really had a lot of fun together. So yeah. I was really disappointed that she didn't come back.
Mm. Well, hopefully, I think now is the time, honestly. And, you know, it's one of those oddities where there's always a conversation or a conspiracy theory that successful housewives, like really Mount Rushmore housewives, are protected by production. Like there are certain things where we might hear that things are going on IRL and they don't necessarily make storylines, or it feels like it's coached in such a way that it almost protects that person. And you're in a totally different spot. You are absolutely, I mean, you are literally Mount Rushmore. It's just your face from different seasons. And then I just like take pictures and take selfies outside of it. But it is sort of odd to me that it feels like you were not set up to have the kind of support or ally like that at the moment in which one could make the argument, keep Taylor. She needs to have someone who we know is on her team. And I think that also makes storylines potentially more interesting, that would be taken away. I was like, what the fuck are they doing?
Well, they let me bring Glam by Pam.
Oh, I love Glam by Pam.
Glam by Pam,
yeah.
To the luncheon so that I, you know, felt, you know, that I had somebody there that would defend me. So that was kind. But you're right. I mean, I did feel like I was out on an island a little bit, but I've been through it before. So bring it on.
Also, I'm a chump. Jeff Lewis, the listener.
Okay.
And Jeff was supposed to film with you this season.
I know.
And then said he wouldn't because he wouldn't sign the contract. And I was like, Jeff, I get it. I understand why he didn't. But there was a part of me that was like, sign the fucking contract so you guys can film this lunch.
I was so bummed. I'm so excited, though. I spent some time with him over the 4th of July weekend. And so we talked about going to like some sort of health place. So we're going to go to WeCare from a Thursday through Sunday. It's a place where basically all you have is juice.
Oh, God.
And we're going to do his radio show from there.
Are you serious?
I am so excited. Shane's going to go too. So we're excited.
Jeff talks a lot about, you know, his meal and caloric intake, but like Jeff on a juice cleanse is going to be, that's mm-hmm. going to be, just prepare yourself.
Oh, and you get colonics every day. So it's just going to be like, it's just a very funny things to talk about.
What happened with your, was it an enema?
Yeah.
Where did we go with that?
You know what? It's still, it there were a lot of legalities that we're working through. I mean, it's still kind of in limbo. Okay. So I'm really bummed about it because I want to do it. I'm not a doctor either. So
well, that's why we have Dr. Moon.
Yeah, exactly.
That also BS reminds me of the scene with Jen where she was a little bit of the guinea pig. Jen obviously is going to be dealing with a lot as the season goes on. Heather just gave an interview where she said that people essentially kind of knew what was happening, that Orange County's a small place. There was an awareness that Ryan might be involved in something. No bueno. Had you heard any rumors about that before?
I mean, there, little rumors, but, you know, I felt so horrible for Jen last year because all these people were judging a relationship. They didn't know it. No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. And I mean, I think at this point, they've been dating for a long enough time. He's taking her into his home and now they're engaged. So they're clearly happy together. So let them be, you know, and I called her as soon as I heard all this stuff come out. Or I said, is everything okay? She said, yeah, we're good. We're going to be good. And I said, okay, great. So I'm going to trust what Jen tells me. And that's that.
And hopefully she learned some of the lessons of prior housewives, just in terms of like finding a way to have your own financial independence. Because I know that she's in a really tough place. I know that her divorce is really complicated, but I just worry for her that if she becomes, I know she's like marrying this man, I get it, but I just hope for her that she has, it's not even a backup plan, just that she has something for herself, that she has her own money with the show, a source of income, so that God forbid nothing changes, but just in case she makes a decision different from the path that she's currently on, that she's going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that she is. I mean, she knows. And you know, her ex-husband wasn't paying the rent.
Right.
Like, you can't blame her for that.
Yeah.
She didn't have it. So we've all been there with ex-husbands before.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it is. So, yeah, it's a learning lesson. She's learned a lot and she's doing well.
Yeah.
She's creating different income streams. So it's good for her.
Good. And how are you feeling? How are we doing? End of the day. End of the day temperature check.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm shopping with Sophie today. So I'm excited for that.
You're going to my favorite place.
I know.
It's my temple. I have gone there after so many breakups where I'm like, I just need to cry in the escalators. And then I told you, I go to the second and fifth floor. We're talking about Bergdorf Goodman. And I got in a lot of trouble in college because my mom called me very upset. And she said, why did you just get a thank you note from the shoe sales guy at Bergdorf Goodman? And I said, I have no idea. And then I started we're sitting in the closet. I have a collection of Manolos that started.
And they're beautiful, by the way.
Thank you so much. And they started at Bergdorf Goodman, unfortunately, my freshman year of college.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? If there's something to be focused on, why can't it be shoes? You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to go. And Sophie's been there, but I don't think she remembers it much. So
oh, it's great. It's honestly, and it brings, I don't know, it just like brings me peace. It's like, so it's a beautiful space.
Yeah,
and
it is.
You'll get to have a chance to hang with Sophie. And then you have the show coming up.
Yes.
This Wednesday.
On Wednesday, we're going to be at the City Winery New York City. And on Thursday, we're going to be at City Winery in Philadelphia.
Incredible. And I'm going to put the link in show notes for people to buy tickets. I could not more highly recommend. We need to shout out our friend Christian Gray Snow, who brought this moment together today. And he and I are both going. And I am so, so excited. Shannon Bedour, I cannot tell you. I truly feel a little out of body, I have to tell you.
Stop.
You are. No, this is one of those things of like, whenever something happens to Shan, if there's like a plot point or something, I hear from so many people immediately who are like, I thought of you, Sarah, because I just feel you have been that gal for me. I really, truly, I just hope you know that there are a lot of people that are rooting for you, who as outsiders feel that we understand you, who want you to just continue to grow and find joy and find independence.
You.
And I hope you just feel that like, people are complicated, behaviors are complicated, the show dynamics are complicated, but just know honestly, genuinely that you're not alone.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm in a really good place right now.
Good.
And I'm happy.
Good.
So I really appreciate it. I mean, it's overwhelming for me to hear stuff like that. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Also, that dress, when you got out of the car.
Oh.
Was Jamashi?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Well, Clark, our producer, was on a clothing website. And he goes, look what just came on today. And I literally had it overnighted. That was not what I was going to wear, but I had it overnighted and I was able to get it. So thank you, Clark.
Oh my, what website was Clark surfing?
Forward.
Huh.
FRWD.
Okay. Cool. Go Clark.
Yeah. Thank you, Clark.
Wow. This show has been presented by Clark and we appreciate him. Shannon Bedore, where can AGs follow you on social? Lord knows they already do.
At Shannon Bedore.
Okay, guys, and you know you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Sign up for the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Shannon, I mean, listen, this isn't my plate, you fucking bitch, but this truly was a dream. I have 9 lemons in a bowl directly behind
you
us.
You do. Thank you.
I just thank you so much. I cannot tell you. And you walked into the room, into the Holy Clophis. This is a temple. This is a space for healing. And you truly said, you know, like, ask me anything. And I just thank you so much for being here. I cannot tell you how meaningful this is.
Thank you.
The podcast has been 8 years. It's 8 years
wow.
young.
Good
and
for you.
This is truly, I cannot, literally was talking to Christian about this at 2 a.m. last night because this came together very quickly. And I literally said, this is more important. He was like, I know. And I was like, no, this is more important. I didn't tell anyone because I'm so like paranoid. You know, you just don't want to jinx anything. And I truly... I really will start crying, but I want to take a photo with you after, so I can't. And I just, I have had incredible people on the pod, and I just cannot tell you how meaningful you are. The most meaningful guest that I could ever have on. Truly, I hope you come back. I would love to have you.
Absolutely.
I just hope you know that how much I adore you and how appreciative I am for coming, making the schlep to the Upper E and just being so honest and lovely today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I continue to stand for Shan. It's a hashtag I use almost every day. All right, guys. Thanks to all of you for listening. You better comment on the social about this episode. My God, this is a holy day here in the Clophis. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.